From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings part two of a message called Division Among the People of God. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening by C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for today is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Light might well be good, since it sprang from that fiat of goodness, let there be light. We who enjoy it should be more grateful for it than we are, and see more of God in it and by it. Light physical is said by Solomon to be sweet, but gospel light is infinitely more precious, for it reveals eternal things and ministers to our immortal natures. When the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual light and opens our eyes to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we behold sin in its true colors and ourselves in our real position. We see the most holy God as he reveals himself, the plan of mercy as he propounds it, and the world to come as the Word describes it. Spiritual light has many beams and prismatic colors, but whether they be knowledge, joy, holiness, or life, all are divinely good. If the light received be thus good, what must the essential light be, and how glorious must be the place where he reveals himself? O Lord, since light is so good, give us more of it, and more of thyself, the true light. No sooner is there a good thing in the world than a division is necessary. Light and darkness have no communion. God has divided them. Let us not confound them. Sons of light must not have fellowship with deeds, doctrines, or deceits of darkness. The children of the day must be sober, honest, and bold in their Lord's work, leaving the works of darkness to those who shall dwell in it forever. Our churches should by discipline divide the light from the darkness, and we should by our distinct separation from the world do the same. In judgment, in action, in hearing, in teaching, in association, we must discern between the precious and the vile, and maintain the great distinction which the Lord made upon the world's first day. O Lord Jesus, be thou our light throughout the whole of this day, for thy light is the light of men.
Sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sees. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again. The seas aloftly shine.
Can bring with it nothing but healing.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Chapter 5 of the book of Acts closed with the apostles rejoicing in persecution. Chapter 6 begins with a problem which arose in the church, specifically division. There was discontent among the Grecians because their widows were neglected in the daily provision of food within the body of believers. As Dr. Cairns will remind us, great blessing is often followed by subtle attacks of the devil. When Satan cannot succeed in external assaults, he often resorts to causing strife within the church, a tactic which can be much more serious than trouble from the outside. The sin of murmuring or complaining is particularly destructive of the unity of the church. Indeed, it was that unity, one of the chief characteristics of the early church, which was nearly ruined. How often God's people fail at the point of their greatest strength. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called Division Among the People of God.
But you know, there are differences in people that we've just got to accept. Now if everybody were just like me, this church would be chaos. And I'd be the first to admit that. If everybody were like me, I'll tell you to be quite honest, I couldn't get along with them. Because there's one person I fight with more than anybody else, and it's not my wife, it's myself. And I think if any Christian's honest, he'd admit the same thing. I well remember reading a piece by Dr. Bob III's wife, and hearing her speak it on the radio, her greatest enemy, and the one she found it most hard to get along with, and the one she found it most hard to forgive. And after being as catty as only a woman can be, or seeming to be as catty as only a woman can be, and you could just hear people getting their hackles up and saying, "Man, that's no example for a Christian." And she was just about to name this unfortunate person, she named herself. And I thought there's a lot of truth in that. If everybody were just like you, or just like me, what a place this would be. But, you know, on the other hand, if we are not willing to accept that everybody's not just like you and me, and that there are differences in background, and that there are differences of outlook, and that these things must be not overlooked, but simply accepted. I'm not talking now about blatant sinfulness. We don't accept that. But I am talking about things that you just don't happen to say, "Well, that's the way I like it." We don't learn to accept those things, we're headed for trouble. The Church of Jesus Christ is a putting together of people. And wherever you have people, you have the potential for greatness, but you have also the potential for trouble. Unless we adopt scriptural common sense in the matter. Certainly this was a big problem with the multitude here in the early church. Now notice in this first verse, the murmuring. You'll notice the devil's subtlety here. Again, he's switching the attack from the outside to the inside. When the attack was on the outside, the people of God were gathered together as one man. They were united. I can certainly see this in the history of the Free Church. I can see it in the history of practically every other church when they're under attack from the outside. When you're in danger, when there's prison, when there's every sort of persecution for the sake of your stand for God. My, it's easy then to stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle. But once the attack from the outside peters out, and the devil switches to the inside, then you begin to see this explosion of division among the people of God. Let me say this, that there are controversies going on in America today among the people of God, where you have one man of God catcalling at another man of God, and you have one group and they're damning another group, and they're both preaching the same gospel, and they're standing for the same Christ, and they say they're doing the same job. They're doing this, and yet they're fighting each other while the devil's crowd goes unmolested. I tell you, that's happening in America today, because the devil largely has switched the attack from the outside to the inside. And when he does that, as we find in Acts chapter 6, how easy it is to promote division. God's people always seem to be susceptible to an attack like this. And it's certainly worth our consideration that many a church which could not be bludgeoned into submission by external forces can be broken by sin on the inside. Now, I noticed the form of sin. It was murmuring. It's a vicious thing when any Christian starts a wicked whispering campaign through the Church of Christ. It's a vicious thing. And there's nothing more calculated to divide the people of God, to put friend against friend, and even family member against family member, preacher against people, than this vicious whispering campaign. Now let me say this. There is the sin of the man who murmurs. And if a man is a murmurer, if he's a whisperer, if he's going behind corners and saying, "This church is all right, but whisper, whisper, whisper," it's sin. But on the other hand, the man who is fool enough to open his ears to the whisperer is equally in sin. Now in the Church of Christ, even in these early days, and certainly as the whole machinery of the church is set up in the New Testament, this is why I'm a Presbyterian by conviction. This is why I believe that the Presbyterial form of government is that which is set out in Scripture. There is adequate resource for every man who is wronged in the church. There is absolute resource for him to go to those who are and leadership to have them do the will of God. And that's what these people ought to have done. Weren't there inspired apostles? Weren't there men who by their word could see an Ananias and a Sapphira struck dead in a moment? Were these men, and especially was not their God, adequate to deal with the trouble of these Grecians? Certainly. There were adequate resources. They had recourse to the men, but they murmured. Can't you just see them? Whispering, backbiting, murmuring, grieving the Lord. I don't want to take time this morning to go back into the Old Testament scriptures, but if you go back right into the book of Exodus, 14 verses 10 through 12, and then again chapter 16 verse 2, you'll find that's the very sin that grieved the Lord and the children of Israel. A murmuring people. That's certainly what they were up to here in Acts, and it caused division. Now, it's strange, isn't it? And yet it's not strange that it was division that threatened the early church. When you take your Bible, you'll find this thing. That when a man who's a great man falls, he usually falls in the area where he's strongest. Moses was the man who was noted for humility. What kept him out of the promised land? He lost his temper. And the meek and humble Moses disobeyed God in a tantrum. Think of Abraham. What was the mark of Abraham? His faith. In fact, he's called the father of the faithful. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But what brought trouble in Abraham when he denied his wife was unbelief. What brought trouble in Abraham when he brought Hagar's son Ishmael into the world? It was unbelief. He failed in his strongest point. What was the great mark of David's life? It was his love for God. Read the Psalms of David and you'll see that practically never has there beat a heart like the heart of the sweet psalmist of Israel, giving vent to the deepest feelings of emotion and love for God. And yet, how did he feel? He feel through lack of love for God. Now we come to the early church. What is the great hallmark of the early church? It is their unity. They are with one accord in prayer again and again and again. They love each other. They are bound together in their common love for Christ. And yet, what is the sin that now brings the work to a halt? It is their disunity. It is their division. What is all this teaching us? It's teaching us that we ought to remember the scripture that says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We ought also to remember the scripture that the flesh profiteth nothing. And therefore, it is only as we are given the grace of God that we are going to have the power to live above the world and sin. Especially in the church, let me notice in passing something that is said again and again through the epistles. When Paul was writing to his churches, he gave them his benediction. And he always prayed, "Grace and peace be unto you." Grace and peace. Notice the order. You'll never have peace until you've grace. Peace is not just a bunch of nice people getting together and being good to each other. Peace is not even just an absence of friction. There's no friction in a graveyard. But you wouldn't exactly want that kind of peace in a church, although many a church has that kind of dead peace. But the peace that the Scripture speaks about is the grace of God. That throbbing, vital principle of God's grace in the experience of God's people, so drawing them out to the Lord, and so drawing them in love together with the rest of God's people, that they can sink every petty, trivial difference and say, "We are sold out to God, and we are going to blaze a trail for Jesus Christ." That's the kind of peace we want. And I tell you, that sort of active peace, rather than merely a passive lack of friction, that sort of active peace will be something that the devil will find hard to stop and find hard to fracture. Now, just before I leave this murmuring, there are two small details, and yet I suppose they're not so small at all. Just two practical things that I want you to notice. There are two words. The first word is neglected. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. I pondered for a while as to whether it was a deliberate neglect. Was there a sinful partiality of the Hebrews against the Grecians? Were they saying, look, we're going to make sure that our folk are looked after and let the rest go to the wall? I wondered that. And for some reasons, but for one particularly that I'll give a little later, I honestly don't think that there was any deliberate sin of the Hebrews in neglecting the Grecians. But they still neglected them. Now, they didn't mean any harm. They just overlooked. Now, they were busy. They had a huge crowd to look after. They had a lot of things to take up their attention. And it could well be that they were rushing over their work, maybe to get to the prayer meeting, for there was continual praying at that time. Maybe to get out witnessing, for that's certainly what the people of God were about. I think they may have well had the very best of reasons and intentions, but they overlooked these widows of the Grecians. Now, they weren't very important people. They were very small. They were insignificant. A widow of the Grecians counted for nothing in human terms. And yet, by overlooking them, these people were wrong. Whether it was deliberate sin or not, I believe it was sin. They neglected them. And it made me think, as I sat and pondered this before the Lord, made me think that you don't really need to go and viciously attack a Christian to grieve him. All you need to do is simply neglect him. Doesn't take much, you know, to say good morning or to go out of your way to ask after the health or welfare of another believer. Doesn't take much if he's sick or indisposed to make sure that his wife and family are looked after. Doesn't take much. But so often it's not done. And the sweet, close fellowship that ought to be in the Church of Jesus Christ is fractured because of the neglect of one set of people by another. This neglect leads to the forming of groups, cliques in the Church of Christ. So that very soon you could end up with a group here and a group there, and as the old Scottish saying goes, never the twain will meet. When that happens in the church, it's disaster. There's neglect here. And then the murmuring. Murmuring. If we are grieved, then there's a spiritual way to deal with it. And if somebody else is carnal, that's no reason for you or for me to be carnal in response. These people who had been wronged, and they were wronged, albeit not deliberately, they had the right to do things God's way. And they should have gone to the apostles. And they should immediately have had this matter dealt with from the Lord. But they ought not to have been murmuring and whispering and backbiting and dividing the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the position in the first verse, the problem of division.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.